everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. Chill show tonight. It is cold outside. I'm feeling the ambience of full winter here. My feet are frozen, and I'm enjoying my success, the success of my Twitter campaign. It's amazing. DK Shadow says the sewer is bottomless. It's pretty amazing to see just how this misinformed and stupid people are. And they will really buy any sort of crap that these leaders of their community on Twitter sells them. And they sell lies about me. And it's not even my first time rolling on this story. It's not my first time memeing on the supposed murder of Mama JF. It's my second roll on it. And amazingly, you know, I think that my Twitter campaign on this for the last 2 days has reached about 40 million impressions on Twitter. Because I was at 15 million yesterday. Just one of the tweets was at 6 million. Another of the tweets was at 7 million. With all of the other tweets and the videos, and one of the videos made 200K. Listen, there's like 40 million people or 40 million Twitter users or screens that have been informed in some way about this whole Mama JF story again. And they don't even care about digging deep. They don't care about what was already said about this. They are just operating on false premises. And I don't know if people realize the extent to which we are in deep shit. The normies are not doing good. They are jumping on conclusions. They are joining the mobs. Yes, Steven Robinson, maybe part of this is all bots. A lot of these supposed bots, though, have a blue check mark. And so I'm like, hey, as long as Elon can cash in on this stuff, whether they are bots or true people who are deceived, it's good. It's good. Swing It says they have to be squeezed. They do, because they're becoming fucking irrational. I'm willing to address tonight a couple of the common things that come to me, but I'm under a flow of shit that people are throwing at me, and all of it has already been addressed. Those are all debunked things. So it's not super interesting for my crowd to review again this, because I've been through it. First, the conception that I'm hiding anything about the Mama JF story is ridiculous. You guys know. You guys have been around to the point that people are telling me, JF, an attorney would counsel you not to be so open about this story. I've been absolutely open about the whole unfolding of the Mama JF story. The first thing that's so common and that people come to me in these shit storms is they think it's very genius and brilliant to say, hey, where's your wife? I just told him. I asked him. It's like, bro, when you're the 1 millionth people saying it, you may not be as smart as you think you are. You may in fact show yourself to be quite a disgusting individual. Why are you going after me? Like, suppose my wife has disappeared, and suppose I'm not in jail, which is the case. Wouldn't you want to show a little bit of empathy? Wouldn't you want to maybe take a step back and ask yourself, hey, am I injecting a knife in an injury here? And why would I do this to this guy? Like, why would I attack a random person who has lost his wife on Twitter? It's worrying. You guys are worrying people on Twitter with your approach to humanity. You have been swirled into a tornado of lies, and you just destroy everything on your path. Angry Sicilian says, dudes are swinging, JF making videos and all. Yeah, they are swinging, but they are swinging not on the ball, not at all. Steven Robinson says, I believe you, JF, but I also believe Hex will moon this year. Lol. Well, here's a delusional supporter there. I mean, here's a, it's good to have, it's good to be in the delusional space to be appreciated, Steven. Maybe you're too ahead of your time, both on X and on Papa JF. yeah, so then, you know, where's your wife? First, you are not aware. You appear not to be aware that she's my ex because I am now with a new woman, a wonderful, holy shit. I was looking at her today in her pink dress. A beautiful woman. Holy shit. Ah, she is headache-inducing beautiful. Like, holy shit. So I am with this new woman. So you're talking about my ex. You're talking about my ex who left me, who didn't want to be with me. Who when she left, she told me, Jeff, I want you to find another wife and, you know, be happy for the rest of your life. I'll never come back. So, so people are rightfully asking, what did you want this guy to do? What was I supposed to do? Well, maybe you should have argued with her. Well, I can argue. I've been arguing with Mama JF to stay here for about 2-3 years that I've convinced her to stay. Not bad, not bad. I was able to retain Mama JF about 2 more years than the date she had already fixed to leave. So I've been arguing, but the arguments at some point, they don't work. So what do you want me to do more? You want me to attach her? You want me to kidnap her? You want me to beat her? I can't do these things. This is Canada. This is 2023. Huh. So yeah, I can't do these things in 2023 Canada. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, what nationality is your new girlfriend? Is she Russian? No, she is a pure-European, independent, fundamental Baptist who believes religiously in the Bible. Absolutely 10 out of 10, supermodel, beautiful woman. Swing It says, pick or didn't happen, Jeff. Stop teasing us like this. Well, I've shown pics of women who look like her, but I won't show you. I am keeping her for myself. I am keeping my trade secrets here for myself. That is just how it goes in this relationship. No, she's not Italian. She is an American. She is. When I say fully European, I mean fully white American. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, regarding your critique of Williamson, wasn't she just exemplifying moral relativism in real time, which should be fine if you are a nihilist? Or Tim may have triggered a unique moral prior that Trump's honesty or consistency likely related to displays of anti-racism? I don't see how it relates to Trump. Are we talking about my commentary on Williamson based on her ideological U-turn on Derek Chauvin? Because Tim Pool was showing her an example that was hypothetical and then revealed, well, the hypothetical example I was talking about was Derek Chauvin. And she totally did an ideological U-turn on her stated principles. That was fantastic to see, but I don't see how Trump's honesty or consistency has to do with this. Doubting Thomas says Trump's equal. Okay. So not Donald Trump. Okay. Okay. So let me reread the sentence to make sense of it then. Tim may have triggered a unique moral prior that Trump's honesty or consistency likely related to displays of anti-racism. Well, absolutely. I think your analysis is correct. She has a butt in her head. Marianne Williamson has these principles that she's able to state But, and that's the but if it's a white policeman with a black person who dies, then suddenly all principles go out the window. But that is not consistency. That is not, that is precisely what a double standard is. It's to have a list of if then in your head. If you are a person of principle who doesn't want to be called hypocritical, you need to have no if then to your fundamental values, at least. And then if there are conflicts within your fundamental values, they need to be ordered in order of priority. If you have a little if, well, you have these rights, but if you're black, you have more, or you have these rights, and if you're white, you have less, then you're not a principled person as far as I'm concerned. Now, yes, you could say it's a moral principle in and of itself to be a cuck displayer of leftist beliefs, an anti-racist belief. But that is what I would call non-principled. You could make up a principle and say, well, ultimately it boils down to an anti-racist hypocritical principle, but I don't. I will just call it what regular people would call this, which is a double standard. Going back to my interaction with the waves of haters, and this one is big, let me tell you, at 6 million impressions a tweet on some of the tweets, this may be my biggest campaign of anti-JF hate. I'm a specialist of this. At this point, I'm able to recycle a meme. I mean, I thought it was all over when I did my round of interviews about the Mama JF disappearance. So yeah, the first answer to tell these people, where is your wife? First, it's my ex. Second, she left me, so I have no obligation toward her. Third, she was very explicit about leaving me and about the fact that I should get another wife. Fourth, you're not entitled to know where she is, nor am I. So it's you are asking for a right to information that you don't have. And you are trying to make it look like there's something suspicious, but it's based on false assumptions. The assumption that I have an obligation of supervision over my exes. I don't. I can't, in fact. Swing It says 6 million impressions in less than 8 hours. No way. 200K, maybe. There has been 6 million impressions on my original tweet. There's like 7 or 8 million impressions on Ashley St. Clair's tweet. And then you have many, many tweets and many videos along the way that have gotten 200K, 300K. So it's a massive exposure moment. More than I've done before. In fact, the last time I've seen anything like this was when I expressed my theory of Millie Bobby Brown being a secret, a super Stacy who has posed as a short hair leftist for fucking people up and then ran away with the John Bon Jovi son. And it was a hashtag. What was the hashtag on this one? I don't remember. She's only 20 or something like this. She's only 19. And I was like, I laid out my theory. And that's the last time I went in the multi-million tweets impression. Rodi Lassud says 6 million sounds kind of high. I would say maybe 4.2 million at most. What the fuck are you guys trying to do? You're trying to tell me I'm a liar? You're trying to tell me that my number isn't demonstrated? You are questioning the 6 million tweet impression? I mean, I'm going to have to find it because you guys are being skeptics. You guys are denying things that I know to be true. 6 million tweet impression. I am absolutely sure that I have seen this. Oh, well, there you go. There you go. 5.7 million tweet impression. And the answer by Ashley St. Clair was something along the lines of 6 or 7 million. I don't know why you guys are questioning the official figures. Oh, there she is at 5.6 million. Yeah. Don't question official figures like this that are absolutely certain. You know, you're going to get in trouble. James says, it's my life or living on a prayer should have been the hashtag. Yeah, for Millie Bobby Brown and her absolute right to engage in heterosexual reproduction. That is another facet of the counters that I'm getting with the hate. There are people who are like, they want to deprive me of a fundamental right because my ex left me. So they're like, how can you be on Twitter when your wife has disappeared? If my wife disappeared, I'd be out there looking for her. What the fuck do you want me to do? You want me to go with dogs in the Canadian wilderness? Have you looked at the surface area of Canada? Do you realize that Mama JF hasn't been found by the Canadian Police Major Crimes Unit? What do you want me to do? You want me to go out with a random dog and just walk in the Canadian wilderness? I'm going to be able to cover 0.0001% of the Canadian territory. You want me, without any means, to outcompete the Major Crimes Unit, who have deployed the highest legal standard that they have for this kind of case, which is a disappeared person. And that gives them special right to track and to deploy all available means to find Mama JF. So I cannot contribute to this. If anything, my assholery around this subject has been one of the most successful Canadian campaign of public attention drawing for the purpose of having better chance to find Mama JF. Me being an asshole about this whole story and making comedy around it has probably turned 100x the number of eyes that otherwise would have been turned on this story. I multiplied the regular public attention that you get on this kind of case by 100. So it's like, if I know what I'm good at in life, and I'm not good at tracking scents in the Canadian wilderness, but I'm kind of good at drawing public attention with hassle-ry. And this is what I've done. So, you know, I don't ask to be thanked nor rewarded for this, but to anyone who thinks that my actions are not contributing to the best chances of finding Mama JF, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, currently there's an army of eyes just looking for Mama JF. She can't even buy a cigarette without potentially encountering someone who would call the police immediately. Bianca Fights the Zombies says, raise the Canadian bacon-fueled army to find her. Yes. Stephen Robinson, with his coin delusions, wants me. He says the next thing you could do is to create a Mama JF coin. Dollar Mama. And every time the coin increases in value, there's a little portion that gets fed to, to some Canadian preservation agencies that will look into the woods to find her. So yes, I'm not going to stop speaking. So to anyone who says, you know, I had published originally this Degeneration X meme saying, if you think I'm going to shut up, there's no reason for me to shut up. First, I get exposure to the seeking of Mama JF. Not that I care about her being found, but if that's what you care about, you should. I get exposure to myself, and it's fun. It's fun because my whole precept on my interactions on the public space is to use this as an experiment on people, to see just how stupid people are, and we are seeing it. The second violation of rights that was suggested very often is, oh, this is so weird. This is so suspicious. You are bragging about having a new wife. You're bragging about having a new girlfriend. I wouldn't switch immediately if my wife had disappeared. Well, first, it's my ex that disappeared. Second, she left me voluntarily. Third, I've always been saying on the public space right here that we should add alligators to moats inside society so that whenever females go on their own volition, they are faced with the dangers of nature. I've always stood for the idea that if there were alligators outside, families would be much more solid. And so I'm not going to cry to the disappearance of someone who had already broken her vows toward me. That is not something I'm going to do. I have no responsibility to care about what happened to her because I wash my hands of it the moment I'm in a society that tells me, Jeff, you have to respect woman freedom. Well, there you go. I respect woman freedom, but don't come back and attribute that debt to me. The other thing that they complain about is, this is suspicious. Another wife, another girlfriend. And I made a little tweet yesterday. The insemination will continue. You can't stop what is happening here. I said, these people are insane. They want me to sterilize myself because my wife left me. That's really what they're about. Anti-natalism. But I'll never let them win. The insemination will continue. Someone had a great meme. That would be my expression as I yell, the insemination will continue. They want you to wait years between women. But at the rate at which women destroy family in the current society, if you wait years, you give them power, you give them reservation power, and you give them the capacity to ruin even more of your life. To me, it's always been clear, the moment you say the words, I'm not with you anymore, I'm already on my next search, and I will accept any other offer. If you leave 1 year, 2 years between your relationships, you're going to have a maximum number of relationships during your fertile years. You are giving power to people who want you off the reproductive line. So if you're serious about having a large family with many children, you either have to find a loyal woman, which congratulations if you can do that. But in my case, I couldn't do that up to now. In my case, I had to deal with women who want to extract sperm from me while promising me 10 babies and taking only one. So do the math here. Do the math. If I wait 3 years between each woman who lies to me and says they want 10 kids, but they only want one, and then I have to wait a little bit at the beginning of the relationship, and then I have to wait a little bit after the baby is born, I'm getting 2 or 3 babies in my adult life. If you impose me a 3 years waiting period between these lying whores. So I won't wait. And it has nothing to do with me being a murderer. See, this is the jump that people do. It's not being a murderer. It's about acknowledging that in the current context of female disloyalty, I have to be optimal, and the only optimal response is to give the least power possible to ruin your next step. DK Shadow says, don't be beta reserve. Exactly, that's what they want you to do. they want it to be impossible to have a large family for a man in 2023. And I've decided when I was young that I would collide with all the forces of nature until it happened. I would die trying if needed. And so here we are. Here we are, halfway through my goal, basically, in life. I can't believe the amount of effort that it took to get here. Like, I feel like in the last TV show, and there's the guy in front of Jacob, and he's like, "You have no idea what it took for me to get here." It's amazing. Dumbass says, "I like that it all just rolls off you. Keep it up, JF. By the way, you should sue Ashley St. Clair." Yeah, the problem with lawsuits is the current standard for defamation is so hard to meet. Literally, Ashley St. Clair's argument could be that she's stupid and that she's a brainless woman. That could literally be a valid defense in court right now, because you have to be malicious. But someone who's too stupid to process information is not necessarily malicious. They may just be stupid. And so in that context, it's really not worth it. And the big problem is if the current, the legal system is super hard to penetrate for pro se litigants. If there were internet submission of documents that, and I can submit them by PDF, that is great. But most of the courts, they don't allow this. You need a lawyer to go deposit it in person, and the lawyer will not be there in person. He's going to do business with a legal courier. And then every motion that you file requires a new legal courier, who will charge you $150, $200 to just go deposit a little piece of paper at the court, and you have to meet the deadlines and the service. All of this is extremely costly. A new guy says, "Saturn Shines, JF is good in that regard." Saturn Shines says, "Was she your wife? You need to take care of finances unless she comes back. Separate accounts." Oh, yeah, I'm doing good. Mama JF was absolutely respectful in leaving and not creating financial mess. So I'm absolutely good. Between me and Mama JF, everything is fine. But there's a whole campaign out there that has decided that I must be the murderer of Mama JF without even there being signs that she was murdered. And that's the situation we're in. It's amazing to have so much trouble in people's heads out there, when in fact, Mama JF leaving me was one of the most respectful separation I've ever seen, and totally fine with Mama JF. I encourage her to pursue her dreams wherever she is. And I'm not annoyed by anything she's done. But society is unfit. Society is unfit to the degree of female liberty that it demands. It cannot live by its own principles. And this is what's very sad about this. It's that I'm forced to tolerate degrees of liberty that I, even as a libertarian, feel uncomfortable with. Just because society wants me to. And then society tries to guilt me for attributing that level of liberty. It's like, you guys are fucked up in the head. This is what you guys have demanded. This is the liberal stuff you wanted. You wanted females to not be abused, not be yelled at, not be beaten, and be free to go at all times. I offered this. I gave the leftists what they wanted. You cannot possibly find a single thing that I've done in violation of your female liberty principle in my life. And yet, there you are, you know, inventing stuff, because you can't picture the idea of a guy who would be law-abiding. That is what's dramatic. They can't picture it. There must be some evil in the man. Saturn Shine says, if she comes back, everything you have is joint marital property. You should divorce her for abandonment. You know, I live a very different kind of life. Saturn Shines, you don't have to be worried about me. I am a man of little possessions. I am a man who lives by nature, who harvests the mushrooms of the forest. And don't worry about any of this. All of it is well taken care of. And, you know, I've often given lots of counsel on this show about being unseizable and being unassailable. And you have to live by these standards. Dumbass World sends a super chat. He says, yeah, Jewish feminism has made women their worst, purposefully to destroy the nuclear family. Just one of a thousand cuts they do to us. Absolutely. And what you're seeing there is fascinating because it comes from the supposedly conservative right-wing movement. They are indistinguishable. The fans of Ashley St. Clair in the last 24 hours are indistinguishable from the leftists who were going after me 6 months before. Or from the leftists that were going after me 4 years ago, for that matter. People have absolutely no rationality. They look at a couple of tweets, they think they understand a story, and they join mobs commanded by brainless leaders. And there you can see the Jewish invasion of the conservative sphere and how it serves them. Because they can bring an issue that otherwise wouldn't have, you know, there's nothing that affects libertarian and conservative sensibilities in my story. Other than empathy, I mean, a right-winger's reaction to the Mama JF situation would be to say, wow, I'm sorry, JF, you know, family is important. I know it's important for you. And there it was broken by a woman right there. But the Ashley St. Clair wing, which doesn't even deserve to be called right wing or conservatism, is precisely there to bring a leftist moral mob into or out of the right wing, to be clear. Because that's ultimately her goal. It is to display an image that, oh yeah, you know, I'm not okay with these trends. I'm not okay with the library reading. And then pull these people from what would have otherwise been a growing path of understanding of right-wing beliefs and direct them toward the stupid middle or even the stupid left. Saturn Shine says, Jeff, if you were legally married to her, she could come back and has rights to half of what you have. Saturn Shines, I told you, I'm all set. I understand the situation. I understand every right and legal twist. I am good. I am more than good. I am thriving. I am thriving because I own nothing and I am happy. Poopy Stinky says, Poopy Stinky Turd Butt. That is his name. Okay. He says, it sounds like you have a lot of children with a lot of different women. Don't you have to worry about child support? Were you ever a sperm donor at the clinic? Love your movie reviews and was told you did one about an alien movie. Where could I find that one? About an alien movie. Maybe Prometheus? Was it my review of Prometheus? It should be easy to find it. I don't remember if I called it Prometheus. Prometheus JFG tonight. Or was it a TPS episode? Well, in any case, lately what I've done is Napoleon, so you will find this on Odyssey. As for Prometheus, it may not be available on... or what if I type a review? Review JFG tonight. Well. I don't know. You're gonna have to dig. Some of my old shows are on Alt Censored. As for your other questions, again, I cannot talk of the details of my financial life. But do not worry. And no, I do not pay child support. Again, I am a man of little assets, little possessions. I just float in the nether of nothingness. I have nothing. I eat mushrooms from the forest. We have another super chat. Drumbass says, as soon as Israel started getting criticized, all the fraud agents on the right took off the mask. In a way, they did us a favor. All of them are pro-Judeo-cancel culture and anti-free speech. Yeah, they were so quick at the mask was falling so quick in 2023. They overplayed their hand because they look pretty stupid. They look pretty stupid. I've seen a debate between Cenk Uygur and Douglas Murray, and they are trying to maintain face. You know, Douglas Murray maintains face during this debate. But ultimately, people can see what's happening. People can see, hey, there's lots of babies and women being killed, and you're not going to have me believe that these babies were part of Hamas. But that's the sick cognition they have developed that, yeah, they are part of Hamas because eventually they would be trained to be part of Hamas. So they've convinced themselves that it was basically a fight for existence in which they have to completely eradicate the Hamas, the Gaza population, on the pretext that they are all members of Hamas and that they have no way, like any modern nation, to target Osama bin Laden, like to shoot precise missiles. They had to really eradicate the whole of civil society in Gaza. DK Shadow says, Hitler was a baby once. I mean, it makes you think about this whole philosophical experiment that they often use. You know, what if you traveled in time and had the chance to kill baby Hitler? Would you kill baby Hitler? And it's filled with premises, this whole philosophical thought experiment. I don't know what I would answer to this, you know. I'm not sure I want to kill a baby. Rodita Sid says, those babies have the potentiality of becoming Hamas, so now Jews want to kill babies using pre-crime. Yes, it is another instance of pre-crime. What do we have in the news? Iran executes 4 saboteurs. It says worked for Israel's Mossad. Well, you can't fuck around in Iran when they do catch you, although they're not super good at catching people. But when they do catch you, you will have a death penalty. Committed extensive actions against the country's security. under the guidance of the Mossad. Four members of a sabotage group related to the Zionist regime were hanged this morning. So I'm not surprised. There are operations like this going on constantly. But in this case, they were caught. Israel rejects with disgust South Africa's Gaza-related genocide case at World Court. So if you thought that we would get a fair review of whether what we're seeing in Gaza is a genocide, Israel rejected it. Well, what? Is Israel the one deciding whether they're currently committing a genocide? Israel is seething with outrage after South Africa has formally asked the International Court of Justice to open a case for alleged war crimes against Israel related to its Gaza military operation. Specifically, South Africa is accusing Israel of violating the UN's Genocide Convention. My God, it's going to be hard to make a case that it's not a genocide. They're going to be all over this word, intent. Well, it wasn't our intention to destroy all of these civilian buildings. It just turned out that these civilian buildings aligned with our military objectives. There was an AK-47 in this hospital hidden behind the MRI, and we had to blow the whole hospital to get to the AK-47. It's going to be fascinating if this case can be tried in some form. Of course, those are bullshit trials. I don't believe that international law is particularly credible. But just seeing how the level of dishonesty needed to defend Israel in this case, it would be interesting to see on TV. Pretoria asked the court to issue provisional measures demanding that Israel immediately halt its military campaign in Gaza, with a statement saying this is necessary in this case to protect against further severe and irreparable harm to the rights of the Palestinian people. The submission to the World Court alleges acts and omissions by Israel which are genocidal in character, as they are committed with the intent to destroy Palestinians in Gaza, which in essence targets a national, racial, an ethnic group. That totally makes sense. I have been advocating for that view for a long time. I don't know, I've not heard a good argument on the other side of this other than intent. Equivocation around the word intent. And it's like, you know, our criminal courts, they require mens rea. They require you to have intended the actions you have committed. Sometimes they require the action intent. Sometimes they require the outcome to be intended, like first-degree murder. But it's not a proper defense to come into a court and say, oh yeah, I did plant this knife in this guy's heart, but I didn't intend to kill him. You can't just flee from intent that way by denying that you had the intent. And I think it should be the same for genocide. It shouldn't be about, well, what did they say they intended? It should be about what would a reasonable human being suspect happens when you bomb an hospital? Does the average human being understand that, yeah, if you bomb the hospital, there's going to be civilian casualties coming from it, and it's going to be a lot. And if you have any military target in there, it must be a very small one. You must know these things as just a thinking human. And it shouldn't be deniable that you had the intent to kill people to which you sent bombs. You carpet bombed the areas of Gaza with the intent to destroy this group or its ability to live. DK Shadow says, I didn't intend the bullet to kill him. I just pulled the trigger. Yeah, that doesn't work. And the standard generally is not what you say you intend, but what would a reasonable person taking your action know? That know the consequences of those actions to be. That is the standard. Israel claims South Africa's claim has no factual and judicial basis and is a despicable and cheap exploitation of the court, the ministry says in a statement. South Africa is collaborating with a terror group that calls for the destruction of the state of Israel. The ministry blames Hamas for the suffering of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip by attempting to carry out genocide on October 7th, when terrorists from the Strip killed 1,200 people and took around 240 hostages after invading southern Israel. So similar to Douglas Murray's discourse on Piers Morgan's show against Cenk Uygur, where it's, oh, there's no factual basis. Well, the factual basis is right in our faces. We see the result on children. We see the result of your war on civilians, and that constitutes a genocide. And it's all the factual basis you need to have. We are headed toward the conclusion of the show. Short show today because it was a chill show. Aquanote says, Jeff, a word you should add to your vocabulary to describe fake right-wingers like Sinclair, Jordan B. Peterson, the Weinstein brothers, Judas Goat. It's a reference to the actual Judas Goat used to get sheep to go toward the slaughter, i.e. fake right-wingers who deliberately mislead people from true right-wing thought. That's interesting. That's interesting. I like that you said that to me because I didn't know about this concept of a Judas goat. However, I will not use that term to point to these people because part of my philosophy in public speaking and education is to always boil down to the common distillated words and to have no special words that are kind of inside a circle of expertise where you have to know a lot of JF content to understand that sentence. My philosophy is if there is such technical words in my language, I redefine them every time I speak about them. But I'm not going to go and start calling everyone Judas Goat, Judas Goat. First, because it is an unclear term that will be interpreted as anti-Semitic. People are going to be unclear about, oh, so you're calling them Judas. So you're saying that they're traitor Jews, right? Technical terms of that kind, especially those that have potentially double entendre, they are possibly leading you in trouble because people will make the interpretation they want of your speech and then they will go with it. So I try to reduce miscommunication by always choosing the simplest words from a basic elementary English rather than an expanded one. Now, sometimes there are complex words that are worth using, but it's never the reason that it's never for labeling things in that way and grouping them under an unclear term in an unorthodox use like this. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, I once tried to recruit others to invest in buying land and building our own houses. It would have been perfectly legal working 6 months a year, but everyone would rather work for 30 plus years for an employer and pay off a mortgage. Why are people so into working their lives away for so little? The thing is, they have a block on this kind of project, and it's a justifiable one. The thing is, common collective projects go to crap. There is always someone working more and bringing more to the table in a collective endeavor. Therefore, all collective endeavors suck. And all collective endeavors are subject to parasitism. You're going to do your ideal world. You're going to invite people in, and you're going to find that some of these people are not willing to put in as much work. Some of these people are going to maintain their land in a way that disrupts yours. Or maybe they're going to make parties, or they're going to start smelling and being general hippies. There is a good human instinct, which is to reject any co-op, cooperative project of those kinds. Now, building the commons, as Kurt Doolittle would phrase it, is still worth. But you never want to build your house or your land as a common. Because just think about the clash of interest in a marriage, and how the division of wealth in a marriage is super complicated, and it leads to so much troubles. We're just talking about two people. And we're talking about two people who have children together. Imagine collective property of a kind where you have 50 people owning the same thing, and it's not in a particularly divisible format like condominiums. It's really just 50 people. And imagine a conflict arises and you need to divorce these 50 people. It's unresolvable. So I think the instinct of people is to stay away from such projects. And listening to millennial woes, I've seen in the millennial this year, I've seen there were some guys who, and I don't want to demean their project. I don't know about their project. But there were some people who were into collecting money to buy land to make this kind of beertopia type of place. And I say, be careful with this. I mean, if you have money to throw out the window, sure, go for it. But be careful with the idea that you will benefit from a beertopia. There is always a parasite and an exploited in a relationship of property. And I think that a lot of people who are contributing to these projects without asking, what do they get inside these projects? Perhaps they get nothing. And in that case, they should really contribute very small amounts, like super chat level of money. But if you think you're going to live there and it's going to be a place, first ask yourself, why are these neighbors more desirable than any other neighbor? Because society has chunked the idea of land property pretty efficiently. There's no particular reason why you would want to be surrounded by communities like this unless you have extreme needs for everyday help with your building, or you totally reject the means and methods of society and you want this group to build together, or you want to be surrounded by right-wing thinking people because you're tired of leftist political power locally at the city level. But I would suggest that none of these projects have enough people in them to revert leftist political power. In other words, you can find bubbles of 5-6 people living close to each other, thinking alike, but they're going to be in a city of tens of thousands and perhaps hundreds of thousands of people. And they're going to be subjected at some level, whether it's city level, state, or national, they're going to be subjected to leftist political power. So most of these community living things, they are not really not for me. They're not good for me at all. I'm a super autist. I hate people, literally. I don't want to be surrounded by people who come to help me to build my next wall or to come connect electricity. I want to do it all for myself or hire people to do it. Silver Spider says, Jeff, we wouldn't be all together in a community and they would have been paid just going outside of company contracts. Well, then you're talking about a bunch of people who want to buy property alongside each other. Do that if you want. I mean, that's what I would call friendship, basically. And as an adult, I don't believe that friendship has much return for value. I don't believe that the ROI of friendship is worth its cost. But that's my take as a super autist. All right, that is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me. And we'll see if the normies are calming down. Perhaps if Mama JF was to show, perhaps she's waiting for something like the New Year Eve and like at midnight on January 1st, 2024, she shows up on a stream. I don't know. But if she shows up, perhaps it will calm all of these true crime investigators, these amateur investigators. Oh yeah, and one thing I forgot to mention is an important news that Trump is getting removed from a lot of ballots. We have Maine now. They decided Thursday to remove Donald Trump from the state's presidential ballot. So it's getting hot on the Trump situation because now it's not just one state. And we're going to have to follow this. I think it's ridiculous what they're doing. They are really elevating him as a martyr. And ultimately, it's going to be the Supreme Court. We'll see what the Supreme Court says. I'm sure they will come and I hope they will come and save Trump on this front. But otherwise, Trump may even win with some states not having put him on the ballot. So, because presumably it's really going to be mostly those far leftist states, those Democrat states that remove him, and we'll see then what happens. Rodita Sid says, if Mama JF shows up, you should ask that lawyer, true crime woman, to show her boobs. She owes us that at least. You want to see Roberta Glass boobs? I'm worried for you, Rodita Sid. I'm worried for you. Thank you.